going to do the Steven Crowder slurp, but I figured better.
I was waiting for you to, but that's kind of plagiarism.
Is it?
Yes.
Aw.
He copyrighted slurping.
Jerk.
What if we do the gulp? Gulp. Oh, is it me?
This is good so far.
Oh, I didn't know I was introducing us.
Do you want to do it again?
No.
Rewind.
Are you sure? No. I think maybe we should do it again because that was retarded.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to come in as it was fading.
That was your thing. I thought I was telling her what I was doing because she was going to do that.
No. I just wanted to know where we were going.
Oh.
You're the boss today.
Ooh. Oh, my.
You the foreman.
Quitting time.
Wrap it up.
Good day, everyone. Here we are at the Ramble Room again. Sarah and Ken and Joe, and I'm Diane.
All right, let's dig into this.
All right. Well, I'm here today as a teacher and also as a learner, because I would have to say that most of what I learned and know now probably didn't happen while I was in school. And if you're under about 55, chances are pretty good that you didn't learn about the U.S. Constitution in school. I did. I had a couple of really good teachers. We had to take civics classes. Did you guys have civics classes?
I had a really good Constitution teacher.
Good.
Auto shop, the Honda Civic doesn't count.
No.
This is an 87 Honda.
I didn't go to auto shop. I went to chop shop.
Okay. If you're under 30, so there's no one in this room, it's highly unlikely that you had that kind of a class in school. I could be wrong. There probably still are some teachers like that. But if you didn't ever learn about the United States Constitution, it's in school. It's not your fault. However, if you are now of voting age, have been voting, voted for the first time in the last election, haven't read the Constitution, shame on you. If you're old enough to vote, you're old enough to take responsibility for being an informed citizen. No more blaming it on your less than stellar public school education. It's on you now. If you're under 40, certainly, if you have the tech capability to be listening to this podcast, you are aware that pretty much everything ever written is available on the internet. The text of the Constitution is available all over the place. I just Googled U.S. Constitution text earlier today, and I don't even know how many choices I had. Maybe you think the Constitution's too difficult to understand. Again, you can blame that on your education, or you can take responsibility and start working on that right now. So you can search for an annotated version of the Constitution and start working your way through it slowly. I also searched annotated Constitution text, and some good stuff came up. The other thing that I have done in the last, 10-ish years or so is take some free online courses from Hillsdale College.
They sent a whole bunch to my inbox, and I said thank you, and ignored them.
So Hillsdale College, they're adding more and more classes online all the time, and they're free by the professors from the college. Two of them are Constitution 101 and Constitution 201, and each course probably has about a dozen 30 to 45 minute installments. You know that you spend more than 30 minutes a day doing mindless things on social media, so you have time to learn this. The Wyoming legislature will be in session for the next month, starting on March 1st. Do you know what your senators and representatives have in mind for your future? And if you don't, why don't you? All of the information you need to stay informed is at your fingertips. Go to yoleg.gov, that's yoleg.gov, and scan the titles of the proposed bills for subjects that interest you. Watch the schedules, contact your legislatures about things that concern you. Wait, you're not concerned or interested? How can that be? Many of the bills could affect your job, your children, and your food, and most of them have something to do with your money. The Wyoming Constitution is available at this site, and we printed it the other day, and it's about 82 pages long. That sounds daunting, I know.
And we're going to read it all to you.
Yes. So get comfortable, get a snack, put your feet up, because we're going to read the Wyoming Constitution.
Get your Snickers, Betty White.
So, one more time. It is your responsibility to figure out how to understand this. Most of it is not difficult. And I really am going to start with Article 1, which is the Declaration of Rights. And Article 1, Section 1 says the title is Power Inherent in the People. Know what inherent means?
It's from Monty Python. There's power inherent in the people.
Come and see the power inherent in the
people. You're repressing me.
Help, help, I'm being informed.
Inherent means that it's existing as an essential characteristic of something. So it's in the fundamental nature of something. All power is in the fundamental nature of the people. Okay, so reading this quotation. All power is inherent in the people, and all free governments are founded on their authority and instituted for their peace, safety, and happiness. For the advancement of these ends, they have at all times an inalienable and indefeasible right to alter, reform, or abolish the government in such manner as they may think proper. We're talking about an essential characteristic. All power is inherent in the people. All free governments are founded on their authority. Their means the people. And is instituted for their, the people's peace, safety, and happiness. For the advancement of these ends, they have at all times an inalienable, which we hear all the time in the Declaration of Independence, inalienable rights, and indefeasible rights, which means they cannot be nullified or made void. Unlike unconstitutional laws coming down from the federal government, our rights can't be nullified or made void by laws made by anybody.
They can be by apathy, however.
Yes.
You wouldn't believe how many people don't know that. Just that. They think it's the government that is supposed to be controlling things. And I've heard more than once, why is the government doing that? Why are we doing that? And so tell them to stop.
Right, which is why this was something that today I just thought, this needs to be said, that we can't just keep sitting here going, darn it, our taxes went up again. Because I don't even know how many of the bills that are coming through this year during the session have to do with higher taxes. Because, you know, we're in a budget crisis, so that's your problem. We're gonna figure out 12 new ways for you to pay us some more money so that we can take care of that, rather than getting our stuff together and becoming efficient and getting rid of some of the stuff we don't need.
Even if it's innocuous, as we're just gonna form a panel to look into something. Ding, ding, ding. Money being spent. Money being spent that they don't have, so they're going to take it from you.
Right, and usually those, I don't know what you would call them, not bills or whatever, that forms a panel to investigate something, will say, and this many millions of dollars has been set aside for that. Okay. Anything else on that one?
Just to say that really what the Constitution is about is putting limits on government, not putting limits on us, the other way around.
And much of Article 1 of the Wyoming Constitution mirrors the Bill of Rights in the U.S. Constitution and other things in the Constitution, just making sure that Wyoming agrees with the U.S. Constitution that all the power is in the people, everybody's equal, and if you don't like it, you can do something about it.
Right. Yeah, that's the beauty of that entire thing, is that if you don't like it, you can stop it. Instead of just sitting on your butt going, look what they're doing to me, you can actually reach up and slap them. Hypothetically speaking, and be like, no,
right,
bad,
right,
sit, stay.
Use the law to slap them.
Yes.
Yes.
A law-abiding slap.
You say yes. You, that takes more than one voice, though.
Right, but you, the people that are you out there.
Y'all.
Y'all. Let's get back down to Oklahoma terms. Y'all get out there and do stuff. Peacefully.
All right. So Article 1, Section 2, Equality of All. In their inherent right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, all members of the human race are equal. Now,
wait.
Yes?
We got to make special barriers for special people.
Okay. Article 1, Section 3, Equal Political Rights. Since equality in the enjoyment of natural and civil rights is only made sure through political equality, the laws of this state affecting the political rights and privileges of its citizens shall be without distinction of race, color, sex, or any circumstances or condition whatsoever other than individual incompetence or unworthiness duly ascertained by a court of competent jurisdiction. Is that what you're talking about?
It sounds like it ought to cover everything, but a lot of people will tell you it doesn't.
Well, I'm not sure what to do about that. I'm just reading what it says right this minute.
You're doing exactly what needs to be done about it, and that's educating people, informing them.
Because there are categories of people who don't enjoy the same rights, and that would be people who like need to be in prison and that kind of thing. But those people, you can't just arbitrarily take their rights from them. Their unworthiness has been duly ascertained by a court of competent jurisdiction.
Yeah, if you're a felon, you have earned the right not to have the right to vote.
Right, you did that yourself.
Yeah.
We're back to that thing about due process. You can't lose these rights unless there's due process, which includes conviction and jury of your peers and such amount of things. It doesn't depend on your ex-significant other telling a judge somewhere that you got a screw loose and therefore they're going to come take all your guns.
Yay, guns.
Okay, Article 1, Section 4 is security against search and seizure. And this is right from the Fourth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause supported by affidavit, particularly describing the place to be searched or the person or the thing to be seized. I'm thinking of a couple of bills that are in the legislature this year, like the one that would put a tracker on your car to see where you've driven and how far and things on the highway so that they can tax you that way.
Which would also know how fast you were going.
Yep. The bill that where they're trying to get the cameras to take pictures of you speeding and running red lights instead of, and then you just get a ticket.
It's been that long since you've had one?
Yeah. about 40 years?
we got one from a camera. It just shows up in the mail. We're in Germany at the time.
Yep, they do this all over.
I don't even remember whether it was our vehicle or a borrowed one. But anyway, one of the complaints is, well, you can't necessarily prove who was driving. Oh, it was a brilliant photograph. You could see my face. You could see the license plate.
Finger up your nose.
Clarity. I was probably singing when it was taken, so it was quite, there wasn't much doubt other than, is the radar machine accurate?
And in Germany, you know they are. Everything over there is accurate.
Good luck. They don't necessarily have these rights that we're talking about either.
No, they don't. And that's, we need to know what they are. And the other one that I was thinking of was the new seatbelt law that they want to do, where you can be stopped simply for what the policeman sees that you don't have a seatbelt on. He stops you. He tickets you for you and anybody else in your car who doesn't have one. And then at a certain point, I don't have that bill in front of me, but you would be sent to a class on safety if you don't do this. Those are just three of the bills that come to my mind when I read about the unreasonable searches and seizures, no warrants issued but upon probable cause, supported by affidavit, particularly describing the place to be searched and the person or thing to be seized. Do we want cameras and tracking devices looking into every part of our lives so that here's our probable cause, you let us put this thing on your car? We see where you were and for how long and for how fast you were going and all those things. Oh, yeah, good idea, because this simplifies everything and our taxes will be so straightforward from now on.
Just like they've always been.
Yes.
Our taxes are brilliantly done. You always know what you're paying for and you always know what you're getting out of them.
That's right.
Well, it would make it simpler if you got called in for questioning and they said, where were you on the night of January 27th? I don't know.
Yeah, he won't.
Well, we do.
Yes.
He won't believe you when you tell him his mom's house this time.
Right. Thank you, government. I feel so much safer now. All right. Article 1, Section 5, imprisonment for debt. No person shall be imprisoned for debt except in cases of fraud. I think this is interesting because I don't know if anybody has worried about that for a while. Like, oh, I owe somebody money, and if I don't get this taken care of, I could go to jail. This used to be a big deal. If you got into debt, your debtor could have you put in prison. It's called debtor's prison. And you would stay there until you paid your debt. Does that make any sense?
Hard to get a job when you're in prison.
It's very hard to get a job. I think that at least in the old British ones, maybe they let you work. Like you could sit there and, I don't know, sew patches on people's clothes or something for cents on the hour.
It was primarily a way to lean on family or other people that might have the money that might be willing to
get you out of prison.
So it was basically just holding you hostage.
I would be way out of luck on that.
Yes. Well, and so you could just disappear if you needed to. But like people with children who needed fed and housed and things, they were going to do whatever they could to make sure they either didn't go in there or somebody else was helping taking care of them. So probably most people aren't too worried about this now. But just in case, you need to know that that can't happen. Unless you're guilty of fraud, under which case your unworthiness or your worthiness to be in jail would duly ascertained by a court of competent jurisdiction. Right? So your debtor couldn't just come and say, policeman, take him away. All right. Article 1, Section 6, due process of law. No person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. And due process of law would be something beyond what we're going to do here today. But if you want to know what the due process of law is, you can look into that yourself. Article 1, Section 7, no absolute arbitrary power. Absolute arbitrary power over the lives, liberty, and property of free men exists nowhere in the Republic, not even in the largest majority.
Pretty straightforward.
It really is.
I don't have anything to add to that. That's brilliantly put.
Yet, we do have to keep having more and more laws saying, that also covers this, your health care, you can take care of that yourself, we don't have any right to tell you what to do. Laws and lists and bills and all kinds of things saying, here's what that means. Absolute arbitrary power over the lives, liberty, and property of free men exists nowhere in the Republic, not even in the largest majority. It does sound straightforward, doesn't it?
It does.
But there's politics and lawyers, and so we have to have laws.
Unelected bureaucrats.
Yes. However, absolute arbitrary power over the lives, liberty, and property of free men exists nowhere in a Republic. Not even in the largest majority or unelected official.
So pretty much that's just saying, you're free. Be that way.
Yes, and it's saying, we're going to have laws. I mean, here's right. 82 pages of them that really should have been enough. Okay, guys, let's all just abide by this Constitution.
Right.
But we don't.
Right, because in there, I mean, they're talking about equality. They're talking about everything that, you know, everybody's fighting over today.
Mm-hmm. All the basic things.
Let's just follow the laws of the Constitution. Boom. Done.
Ooh, okay. So in Section 1, there are 39 articles that I'm not going to read anymore. Some of them get in pretty detail. Like the last one is the opportunity to hunt, fish, and trap. That's a big deal, but you probably already knew about that. And then Article 2 goes into the distribution of powers, and this talks about how the legislature is set up. And you probably really ought to know that, especially if you're going to vote. There are all kinds of resources available for you to find out what your representatives are up to. And now you can't say you don't have that information because I just gave it to you.
Right. This isn't Joe Biden's family where we're putting the record on every night. We actually have, you know, we have computers and stuff. Everything's pretty much at your fingertips. And now you have more information to go out and you can go look at it and say, oh, Diane was right. She's a lovely lady. And she is.
What do you want, Joe?
And if that, at the opening statement, it sounded a little harsh that she was saying, if you're voting, if you're going to be doing all this stuff, you should know what you're talking about, and it's your responsibility to educate yourself. That is one of the fundamental principles that this country was founded on, is personal responsibility. And it sounds harsh to people of the younger generation, but really what we're saying is you go do pretty much whatever you want, as long as you don't break these fundamental laws. And we're giving you the benefit of the doubt to know what the difference between right and wrong is, and what works for your family and what doesn't work for your family, and how you should make a living and all of these things. So it's not harsh to say you need to inform yourself, because an informed populace is what makes a true democracy function well.
Otherwise, you get Liz Cheney.
Good thing she's not a white supremacist.
Yep. But see, there's another thing. She keeps going that the Republican Party needs to come out and say that they're not white supremacist. Well, no, we don't. It's pretty obvious that we're not.
Because we never came out and said we were.
Yeah. If we would have came out at any point and said, we're the party of white power, then maybe we might have to step that back a little bit. But we've never said that, so we don't need to. And in the Constitution, it says that she doesn't have the power to tell me to do that.
No, and it also says that everybody has equal rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and all members of the human race are equal under the law. Not and one thing I did want to point out that with that one, though, is that it doesn't say that everybody has the same thing and is equally talented and equally capable of all the same things. It says that under the law, you have equal rights, not that you deserve everything that
right.
everyone else has.
It's not equal outcome. It's equal right. opportunity to get to that outcome.
Right. And the Wyoming laws are not allowed to discriminate against you for any reason other than individual incompetency or unworthiness duly ascertained by a court of competent jurisdiction.
We're screwed.
Yeah, I'm never going to be able to vote again.
And understanding that goes back to understanding, if you want to understand what is significant about that law, you have to understand how the world was before we created constitutions like this, where if you got in trouble and you were some poor peon and some rich guy got upset with you, he could have you thrown into prison and there was nothing you can do about it. The equal under the law is that no matter how rich or how poor, whether you're a landowner or not, or whether you're male or female, everyone's treated the same under the law, unless your last name is Clinton, which I think was the 23rd Amendment.
Yeah, I wasn't going to go that far today.
Okay. We'll get there one of these days. Miss Diane, I have a question. I think that a lot of people are uninformed to the point where they don't even realize that each state has a constitution. Even if people haven't learned about the U.S. Constitution, we kind of know that there is one. But fewer people are informed about the fact that each state has their own. So could you explain to the masses why Wyoming has to have a constitution if the U.S. Constitution is already in existence?
No.
No? It takes too long.
So that'll save some time.
You know, I almost said that at the beginning, too, is that, but I was trying really hard not to sound condescending, like, did you know that every state has its own constitution? And this goes back to the 10th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, and I'm not going to be able to get the wording right. If you wanted to look that up really quickly.
I shall.
Because the powers that the federal government doesn't specifically have in the U.S. Constitution are left to the people and the states. And so each of the states has the right to have their own constitution, saying here's how we want to run our state, as long as it doesn't conflict with anything in the U.S. Constitution.
Which it doesn't. It actually echoes most of it.
Right.
The 10th Amendment says, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people.